Asked the lady, says, "Ma'am, how old are you?" She says, "I'll have you to know it's my business." He says, "You look like you've been in business a long time." But the older we get, the more we think about the afterlife. It may be because we've attended so many funerals here lately. I don't know. But I'm here today to share with you what the Bible says about heaven, the place that is slap dab out of this world. And it is, because there's nothing to compare it to. I realize as we think about heaven, of course, some of these young people, they don't want to be talking about this, and some old people don't talk about that. But we need to realize, according to the Word of God and what Jesus made possible for us, He has went and prepared a place for us that is called heaven. That is the dwelling place of those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And because of that, we can look forward with great anticipation of what God has for us. Man, I'm looking forward to that. Amen. And I sit there a while ago, and what it's saying, that blessed assurance, I about stripped my gears. I don't know if I'll be able to get through tonight or not. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. First of all, as we look at this passage, you stand before the reading of God's Word in Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 21. I want to read verses 1 through 4. We'll be alluding to several passages, several verses here, and also in 22. But he says, there's a song about that song. I said, you know, look how the Lord works out things. New Jerusalem. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we bow to give You thanks today for the privilege we have to come and to worship You and to honor You, O God. We recognize that worship is very significant in our lives as the children of God. And I feel sorry for those who do not participate in worship. The collecting together of the saints of God to worship and to honor and to glorify You as we sing those hymns that speak directly to our heart. Lord, I pray tonight that as we look in Your Word together, that You will open the ears of our understanding. You will open our hearts, O Lord, that we may catch a fresh glimpse of that which You'd have us to know and to understand. I pray, O God, that You'll help us to recognize that if we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a home in heaven, and it's called heaven. And I pray, O God, tonight that as we look in Your Word, that You'll speak to us and make us keenly aware of the things that You have in store for us. And Lord, we know that even as we preach about those things, we don't have time to tell about everything. But God, I pray tonight that You'll just be with us in a special way. I ask, oh God, once again that You would anoint these lips of clay, God, and cause them to speak the words of truth as only You see fit. I pray, Lord, that You'll be with my mind as I think in my heart, Lord, and help me to say those things that is pleasing in Your sight that will honor and glorify You. I pray, oh God, tonight that You will bless those that are going through difficult and trying times, that You will minister to their needs as only You can, those families that's lost loved ones, those that are in the hospitals, those that, Lord, are going through uncertainties in their life with their health and issues there. I pray that You would be with and bless them as only You can. We ask it in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for His glory we pray. Amen. I was supposed to announce, and I got all worked up there. Miss Rozier's family will be here at the church Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, and it will be, the visitation will be tomorrow evening at Pearson and Dial from 6 to 8, I think it is. Also, they've been asked to bring food Tuesday for the funeral. After the funeral, they're planning on eating here at the church, so please respond to that if you can help out. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? I forgot to even do that. I got so beside myself. Sometimes I do that, especially when you talk about heaven. Any other announcement that needs to be made? Anything? If not, then let's look together to God's Word as we think. In what John was writing, we know that John was banned to the Isle of Patmos because of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, God used him in a miraculous way to write the book of the Revelation. It teaches us and tells us many things about life and the things that are to come, the things that's going to happen. But he also talks much about heaven. And as John related this, he caught a glimpse of that and he understood what it meant because he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more. As I think about heaven and I think about what John was talking about, the first thing I recognize is this place that's out of the world, there are sights that's going to be wonderful there. Whenever we think about the wonder of glory itself, the wonder of heaven, we need to understand the term new and he uses there. Jesus said in John 14, 1 and 2, he says, I go. He's in essence there. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He was talking about that place. John here is receiving the very openness of God because he sees the place and it's going to be a wonderful place. We use the term wonderful, a word that we use so many times, and wonderful will not even describe the glory and the glimpses of heaven that John himself caught. We know that the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven, and he said he saw things and saw things that he could not explain, he could not tell. He said his words will not express it. He says, if I could express it, he said, you would not understand it. So that's a very wonderful, wonderful place. But the term he used there, there'd be a new, that verse 1, he talks about the new earth, the new heaven and new earth. He talks about the term new there, and in the term there means new in character and kindness. Nothing here resembles any part of it. The holy city he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul says, eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. In other words, what Paul is saying, what John is saying here, it is the most wonderful place you could ever imagine. It is the most glorious place you could ever think of. And that's exactly why. Why is that? Because it is a perfect place. It is a unique place. The term perfect means it's uniquely complete. Everything that is needed will be there. But there is something else we need to look at too. We need to realize and we need to understand that there will be absolutely no perversion there. Where there is perfection, there is no perversion. Version. And heaven is a perfect place because the Lord himself has made it that way, and it's glorious beyond compare, and therefore we can recognize there is no imperfections there. But just look at the size of it for just a minute. Look at verse 16 and 17 with me. It says in verse 16 and 17, it says, the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the walls thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. The term, as we look at that, it means that this city, if we look at it very close, it is 15,000 square miles cubed. You think about that, 15,000 square miles cubed. It is said that 100 billion people could be placed there and still have plenty of room for that many more. I don't know. I cannot fathom that kind of measurement. But that's what the most some scholars say, and what they think is we talk about the size of it. But let me tell you something. We need to recognize that it's a big place. And boy, let me tell you, I'm glad I'm going. How about you? I'm telling you, boy, it's just so wonderful, marvelous, perfect. It's just wonderful, a wonderful place, the size of it. Look at it with me just a moment in verse 21 in the same chapter. Look what it says there. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Can you just imagine the awesomeness of this? Skippy Vineyard in his Sunday school class in Salem, as they were teaching the Sunday school class, he was about 9 or 10 or maybe 11 years old, and he says, Brother Ronald, he says, you mean to tell me that these gates on the city of heaven, that they're made out of one pearl? And Brother Ronald says, yes, that's what the Bible says. He says, man, that must be a big oyster, hadn't it? But see, we don't understand all the ramifications of that. But you know, you look at this, it talks about made of a single pearl, one pearl. Did you know that every precious stone comes from metal or a stone? Any precious thing, except for one thing, and that is a pearl. Here it talks about a pearl. The pearl, if we look at this, the pearl, it comes from pain, it comes from agony, it comes from something that's in the muscle of that pearl or that oyster, and it causes pain, and he builds up that coating around it. And as you think about this, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? The only reason that you and I will ever see Beulah Land is because of the pain by the injured one, and that is Jesus Christ, him suffering, giving his life as a ransom, paid the price for us. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then it says, and by his stripes we are healed. And the term there means made complete before Almighty God. That's why, let me tell you something, that's why that we're going to enjoy Beulah Land, because of what Jesus has made possible for us. Glory. I'm glad I'm going. How about you? You better watch me. I might get carried away here tonight. What do we think about? Look at the streets, he said there in verse 21, the last part. He talked about these streets will be transparent glass, gold. The term there means the clearest, the purest. Nothing in this world could ever come close to it. Nothing could ever describe it. I cannot imagine how that gold in its refined state could be so pure that it would be transparent. But that's exactly what John said. That's what John saw. It has been said down here, men walk on God and they worship gold. But let me tell you something, it's going to be different up there. We're going to walk on gold and we're going to worship God. Amen? We're going to understand what it means to really understand and to know what worship really is. Down here, men kill for gold because of greed. But let me tell you something, up there, we're going to walk on gold because of grace. The grace of God has made it all possible for us. What a place it's going to be. But you know, as we think about this, you think about all the ramifications of heaven. And many people on their dying bed has witnessed and maybe seen beyond life and saw into the very realms of heaven like John did. D.L. Moody said this on his deathbed. He told his son Will, he says, don't call me back. He says, earth is exceeding, heaven is opening, and please let me go. Let this day be my coronation day for the glory of God. You think about that. I read a story about Dr. R.G. Lee, and many of you know him. He preached like 68 years, and said on his deathbed as he was dying, as his family was around him, he said in a moment where he kind of revived up, he said, I see the gates of glory and I see heaven. And he says, I preached about it these 68 years. And he says, I have not done it justice. I have not done it justice because of the glory of it. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon was on his deathbed, he just busted out laughing in hilarious laugh. And he says, you call this death? He says, there's nothing to this. Because he knew that in the process of death, he was moving into a better place. He was moving into heaven. Let me tell you something. He said that this is better than living. What a place. What a place. Let me tell you something. It is wonderful. It is a wonderful place. Let me tell you something. Did you know that in heaven, there's not going to be any burglar alarms? There won't be no burglars. There won't be any bars on your doors and your windows. You won't need them. You won't need a night watchman. You know why you don't need a night watchman? Huh? Ain't going to be no night. Ain't going to be no night. That's what the Scripture says. That's what it tells us. Notice with me just a moment, verse 23. I believe it's verse 23. Let me see there just a moment. Verse 23 says, and the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Did you catch that? What a place. What a glorious, glorious place. Look at verse 25. It says, and the gates of it shall not be shut all at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Look in chapter 22, verse 5. It says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Why does God want us to recognize that there's not going to be any night there? Anybody ever been afraid of a dark? You know, a lot of people are afraid of the dark. But there's not going to be any dark there. There's not going to be any night there. God has made possible, as He's promised us in His Word, there's not going to be any night there. You know why? Because let me tell you something. When we understand this, God wants us to know that there will be no night there. You know why? Because Jesus is going to be the light. Jesus, when He began His ministry, He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And now He tells us, John tells us, He's going to be the light of glory itself. Let me tell you something, folks. That's something that's going to be amazing, is it not? It'll be the Lamb and the Light Power Company. Be in a different controlled environment, that we'll not need the sun because the S-O-N is going to shine. Hallelujah. We're not going to need anything else because the bright and morning star is there. He's going to be the light of heaven. Hallelujah. There's so many things as we think about heaven and the brightness and the glory of it. Many times as you look up in the heavens at night and you see all the stars and you see all the creation of God and you see the glory of those stars as they shine. Let me tell you something. That's just a glimpse on the bottom side of it. Just wait till we get on the other side of it. Man, it'll be something to look at, will it not? That's why I'm saying this tonight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. And I think about that old song that we used to sing so many times talking about and dealing with heaven and the glory and the splendor of heaven. It's going to be something amazing. It's something that we cannot fathom, we cannot comprehend. Our mind, we cannot just fathom what God has in store for those who love Him. Brother and sister, let me tell you something. I'm waiting on it. How about you? The second reason, the second thing, is that the saints are going to be welcome there. The saints are going to be welcome. I want you to honestly answer me now. Be honest as you can. Do you ever feel unwelcome here? Do you ever feel unwelcome here in this old mixed up, messed up, polluted up world that we live in? Do you ever feel unwelcome? Be honest now. Let me tell you something. You cannot hardly watch TV anymore without blushing. I mean, there's not anything on the thing fitting to watch hardly anymore. This thing's pulling my ear off. Nothing hardly fit. You used to could watch Western, but you can't even watch Westerns anymore. Nothing hardly fitting to watch on television. And bumper stickers, you know, you cringe and you whimper whenever you see some of the bumper stickers today. Saw one here not long ago, and I believe I told you about it. It says, party till you puke. Now, let any intelligent idiot would know better that I don't like to puke. Do you? I mean, whenever I throw up, they can hear me all the way to Patterson whenever I do it, if I ever have to do that. And you just think, somebody puts that on a bumper, party till you puke. That is ridiculous. We've got a society that's so messed up, folks, and we need to realize that. We need to be honest. We need to be honest because, see, there's sometimes in our society that things just make me sick. How about you? I believe that if we're plugged into God the way that we ought to be and we see our society like it is, it ought to make us cringe. It ought to make us shudder. It ought to make us realize that God one day is going to judge sin in His own time. I'm not on the jury and I'm not the judge, but I know according to the Word of God, He's going to do that. He's going to do that. Let me tell you, you know what the problem is? We're twice born men and women living in and amongst once born men. That's the problem. They've been once born physically. They could care less and could be unconcerned about the spiritual matters of life. But as God's children, we should be recognize and understand that there's more to life than just the physical, and the spiritual is the most important thing. And as we make preparation, this is what we're talking about tonight, is making preparation for the place called heaven. Heaven. Man, you talk about problems, problems, problems. We're people of another land. We're people of another destination. We're people that's got something else to look forward to. And let me tell you something. Yes, we may be sometimes unwelcome here, but I got news for you. There, the saints are going to be welcome. You know why? Because the book tells us that. We serve the book tells us, and I believe this with everything, as we think about serving God, he says that we're saved out of the world to go back into the world. Then that's our business in this world, is to relate the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. We need to recognize that it is going to be another place, this place called heaven. And I believe this place called heaven means happiness. We're going to be happiness. Look, this is going to get good. Listen, look at that out now. Look in chapter 21, verse 4. Look what it says. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have been passed or passed away." Look at that wipe. God is going to wipe away. The term wipe out of the Greek language means to totally obliterate. In other words, no thought of it, no action or activity. It's completely wiped out, obliterated, nothing there. Gone forever. Gone forever. That old song, "No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there." Let me tell you something. There are not going to be any tears up there. Amen? That's right, because he's going to wipe away all the tears. Just think about the vocabulary we're going to change and we're going to leave behind. Because, see, he says there's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more funerals. No more funerals. No more funeral homes. You won't need it. No more a lot of things. No more dying. No more death. No more funeral homes. No more, and Brother Ibe, no more funeral messages I have to prepare. No more. No more. No more. No more hearse. Because everything is going to be perfect. They said that in this life it comes to two things, and that's death and taxes. Death and taxes. But up there, let me tell you something, they're not going to be any death, and it's certainly not going to be any taxes, because he's paid it everything for us. He's paid the price for us. And because of that, we can recognize and understand the glory that God has made possible for us. Let me tell you something. All our physical ailments are going to be gone. Every last one of them. I talked with a preacher the other day. He said other Saturday night his wife woke up at 3:30, had a terrific migraine headache. She has these. She could not function for all that day and part of the next day because of migraine headache. She's been suffering with them for years and years. But you know what? When we leave this place, those things are going to be left behind. You got a backache tonight. Anybody got a backache? Ever had backache? You had any back problem? Let me tell you something. When we step out of this realm into the realm God has, there's not going to be any more backache. There's not going to be any more pain. They're not going to be any doctors in heaven, not from the standpoint of doing their doctoring business, because they'll be out of place. They'll be out of place as a piano at a Church of Christ convention, because there's not going to be any pain or problem there. It's going to be a place where we understand, as a child of God, God has prepared for us, and all these ailments are going to be gone. Not only that, you know what, as we think about heaven, heaven means, what does it mean? It means happiness, but it also means home. Look in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 3 there again. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." The term he uses there, tabernacle. Let me tell you something. There's words that's recorded in the Word of God that tells us something, folks, as a church. Words recorded that talks about the dwelling places of God. And we need to understand that, because if you go back to the Garden of Eden, we see that God came and dwelt with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And then as you move on into the Old Testament, you see there also that God tabernacled with the Old Testament patriarchs and the saints. Even as the children of Israel moved out to go into the Promised Land, there was the cloud. There was a cloud by day, and there was a pillar of fire by night. It was the very presence of God. And later we know that they built a tabernacle, and then they built a temple, and God came and tabernacled with us. But in the gospel, we see that John said in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the Father, of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came and tabernacled with us. But let me tell you something. When we get there, He's going to tabernacle with us in the reality of His full presence, because you see, He'll dwell with us. He has been in us, but now He will be with us. Boy, I'll tell you what that means, as the Scripture tells us, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the very dwelling place of God. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. But one day, we're going to dwell in His presence. Glory to God. One of my favorite songs is, "We Shall Behold Him." We shall behold Him. We're going to see Him, and I like that in the Baptist hymnal, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loved me so. Let me tell you, it's going to be splendors. It's going to be something out of this world. Yes, we need to recognize that, and we need to think about that. How good is it is to go home? Have you ever been away from home, had to stay away from home a while? If you ever had to go from home and stay away from home a while, one of the best things in the world is getting to come back home, is it not? I mean, you look forward to it. You make plans and preparations to come back home. And when that day arrives, boy, you've got everything ready. I mean, you've got it all ready to go. But let me tell you something. There are many of us today, we need to realize that we better be making preparations for our eternal home. Because I've seen this happen time and time again, just like with Diane. Her desire was to go home. And I don't know where she's talking about the home down on the river. I don't know. But maybe as God saw in her heart and her life that she was ready to go to that eternal home to be with Him forever. And let me tell you something. That's the most important thing in all the world. You know, how many of you would like to go to Hawaii? What if I said I'd pay your trip to Hawaii? Would you like that? They say that Hawaii is one of the most beautiful places in the world. But I got news for you. Hawaii will look like a garbage dump outside of what heaven has for us, because of the glory and the splendor and the things that God has made possible, that He's prepared for us there. And I am looking forward to that because of what God has made possible for us. Home, home. I tell you what, sometimes whenever people are singing, I get some excited because of you talking, you're preaching, sing about home. Because it makes something well up within my very being, because we need to recognize and understand that it is a glorious place, a glorious place. It is a wonderful place to be. It is a place to look at. But there's something else that's there, and the third thing is a Savior is going to be waiting. Hallelujah. He's going to be waiting. He's going to be waiting to reward us. Chapter 22, three times in chapter 22, He says something. Look in verse 7 with me, chapter 22, verse 7. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book." Look in verse 12 with me. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." There's why He's going to reward us. Then look at verse 20 of that chapter. He says, "He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly." Jesus wanted us to know that we need to be ready, because He's coming. And He's coming quickly. The Scripture says, it's like a twinkling of eye, like the batting of the eye. He's going to come. He's going to be here. And it said that you can blink your eye in less than 1/5 of a second. That's how quick things are going to change. That's how quick things are going to take place. But He's coming to reward us, every one of us. He's going to reward us because He's going to give us the things that stand in, we need. And the term of their reward means payment for a service done to the faithful and to the phony, to the godly and to the godless, to the robber of truth and to the liar. We need to recognize that God is going to be the one who is going to reward us, but He's coming to receive us. Look in chapter 22, verse 20 again with me. It says, "He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." What John was recognizing that his desire was, and he kind of got beside himself there as he recognized and saw all this, that he wanted Jesus to come quickly. The term that he uses there for him to come quickly, and he wanted to come on, and there's the term Maranatha, or to come on. So as we look at this passage tonight, the thing about it is, are you ready for him? Are you ready for him to come? He could come tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? I read John 14, 1 and 2. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Let me tell you something. Heaven is a prepared place. Our Savior has gone to prepare that place for us. And He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." And that meant that He was preparing a place for us. And it's a place for people who have made preparation to be there. Preparation to be there. How do you make preparation to be there? You make preparation by getting your ticket. And that ticket is none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The question of all questions tonight, have you made preparation to be there? Have you made your reservation with the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, I would say, why not? Why not? Because, see, it may be today. It may be tomorrow that you're called out into eternity. Who knows? I don't know, but God does. Listen to this song as a close.
Oh,
bow to give you thanks for today, for the blessed privilege of life. But God, we thank you for eternal, everlasting, abundant life we can know and have as we look to you. We thank you for the promise of heaven. And Lord, we thank you for all the many ways that you have made possible to us the blessings, Lord, of being your children. And Lord, we realize that the best is yet to come because heaven is a place that's out of this world. Nothing here can describe it. Nothing to be compared to it. And Father, I pray that each one here tonight has made preparation to be with you there. If they have not, Lord, I pray that tonight, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will bring conviction into their heart and life, that they will say yes to you, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. We thank you, O God, for what you've done, but we look to you with great anticipation of what you're going to do, for we ask it in Jesus' strong name, and for his glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
Lord, I'm coming home.